Ephesians 4, 14 to 16 is our text. Ephesians chapter 4. But I want to borrow from verse 13. So Ephesians 4, 13 to 16. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, shall we have a word of prayer? I want to contact God because we need assistance today. Our God and our Father, we turn to thee. Where else can we turn? We thank you. The word of God is before us. We pray that the Spirit of God might touch us deep within the soul, that we might bring forth those precious things that come from on high. So bless everyone that has come today. Many are discouraged and going through times of depression, and all kinds of ailments has beset them. We pray thee, Father, that you might minister to them in such a special way today. We give thee thanks with praise and worship in the lovely and beautiful and fragrant name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, God's revealed truth can sometimes appear to be a demanding taskmaster. Do you find that? You find that the truth of God, it seems to be quite harsh at times. But when once we yield to it, it brings forth the fresh, sweet fruits of paradise. It's bitter when it comes in, but afterward you find that there's a sweetness that comes out of your inward parts. And this is what God's will is for us this morning. God's ideal for his beloved people, the church, is spiritual maturity. This is what God is after. Spiritual maturity, a growing up into Christ, rooted and built up in him, conformed to the image of his dear Son, is what God is after ultimately. Until Christ be formed in you, until our life mirrors to a high degree, as Paul says, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. When I first became a Christian, I latched on to that verse, Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. We have been bought with a price. Even the most precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and glorifying him is God's purpose for us all who profess his name. God has a purpose for our lives, and he wants us to fall in line with it and not to deviate to the left or to the right. But how does God go about doing this, you say? How does he make us spiritually mature? And can we indeed be co-laborers together with God? How can we be robust saints to the stature of Jesus Christ? Is this possible, you say? It's one thing to say it, but is it possible to do this? To be robust, real saints? Spiritual maturity? Oh, you say, well, I wonder. I find it just eludes me like a butterfly. I can't catch the thing. Well, if you pull it into you, it becomes real to you. Well, verses 14 to 16 gives us a hint how this can be done to some hopeful degree. But at this point, I must draw your attention to 2 Timothy, please. Move over a number of pages to 2 Timothy for a few verses. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. We're going to read quite a few verses from this to tie it in with the passage in Ephesians. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. This is the problem. We resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. And then look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. That from a child. Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If these verses teach us anything, it is this. The aspiring Christian must ground himself in truth. From a child. You mean to tell me that a little child, you know, you read of people like Frances Ridley Abigail, great hymnist. When she was 3 or 4 years old, she memorized, I think, one of the books of the Bible. From a child. I was 24 when I got saved. I never got any of this when I was a child. I didn't know anything about the Lord. But back to Ephesians chapter 4. Notice here it says, we discover that we should not stay as children, but move on into faith. Don't roost in one spot, is what it's saying. Don't stay in one spot all your life. Grow, mature, advance in the Christian faith. Let it become a part of your life, not just something you put in the closet and just bring out on Sunday morning. Let it be the very life of your life. Grow, mature, be all that God wants you to be, and he'll help you to do it. So we all begin, as verse 14 says of Ephesians 4, as children. But this passage also before us challenges us in verse 15. Notice, but grow up. Grow up into him. And then verse 16, it says right near the end, and increase. We start as a child, we grow up, we mature, and then we increase until God calls us home. And this is what he wants from us. Every one of us. But looking at verse 14, here we discover there's a fly in the ointment. How many of you ladies have been baking sometimes? And you're just stirring your batter with air. All of a sudden, a little flea in there. You try to pick it out, and, well, there's a fly in the ointment here. All of a sudden, Paul is saying, he is saying, well, from a child, and now what has happened to us? Are we still children? Is there a fly in the ointment here? I think there is, because Paul exhorts his children to be no more children or remain as a child. Imagine an 18-year-old child, and mama, and mama. God doesn't want that. He wants us to grow and mature. He doesn't want us to remain as children, infants, babes in the faith. He wants them to grow up to increase in Christ's likeness, which is far better. Now the Apostle Paul, with fatherly care and pointed instruction, says, don't be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by spurious teaching that doesn't tally with God's creation and God's revelation. He says, buckle up for safety. You remember when we were growing up, we used to watch it on television. They had a little ditty there. Buckle up for safety. He is saying, gird up. That is, don't seek changing your mind, shifting and swinging back and forth, caught up by the wind, off course, like a sailor tossed about at the mercy of the wild billows. Or a frisbee. You ever toss those frisbee around? You see them on the beach. One catches it with the hand, the other one with the hand. It flies all over the place. There's no continuity to it. You never know where it's going to go. This is like man's reasonings. It's like that frisbee. You never know where it's going. It goes from one hand to another, shifting, shifting sands. No stability in it. The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So how lovingly did the Lord Jesus command John the Baptist? Remember John the Baptist? In Matthew 11 and 7, he says of him, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? No chance, not John. Now, John was a tremendous man, but he had his questioning. Do you remember when he said to one of his disciples, is this the one we're looking for? He had his doubts, his questionings, his failure. But all in all, he was not a reed shaken by the wind. He was stable and grounded in the very life and truth of God. Verse 14 tells us, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to the sea. Predators. They lie in wait to the sea. Predators. And they've come into the church. You know, I think sometimes a lot of our churches are like a petting zoo. What do I mean by that? Now, if I bring cute little puppies and kittens in here, the little children just want to pet them and everything. Let's say I bring into an assembly wild animals. Children will go and pet or try to pet even then. But when adults want to pet these wild predators, then there's something wrong here. And this is what Paul is telling us. the slight of men. They've come into the assembly and they're petting them. They're petting them. Now, these are predators that come in. Thank God that we have assemblies that take God at his word and don't pet these things. If I bring a cobra into this, you know how they go like this? Mama, can I go pet it? It's so beautiful. A child will do that, but when an adult does it, you know there's something wrong here. So we pet these wild animals and bring them into the assembly. This is what Paul is saying here. What a statement. Here it says that crafty, so-called clever men with unscrupulous trickery will deceive the unwary for personal profit, even in the sacred precincts of the assembly, the church of God. This is why this AI business, you know, today all of this AI, I call it from the pit of hell, most of it. I feel that this so-called AI can be a dangerous thing. It probably, I think, has some benefits for it, but oh, in the hands of ungodly men, how devastating this can be. And now we've brought it into the church in some cases. These simulated manipulations, that's what they do. They simulate the things of God. You're not getting the real thing. And unscrupulous people peddle these things into the church. And we fall for it. We start petting the cobra. Simulated manipulations will subtly turn to automated, controlled robots. That's what they want us to be. Dehumanizing the image of God in us by mechanical means. Google to death for easy access. And this goes for many of these so-called Christian publishers. They bring in a lot of substantial materials, and we all fall for it. Every wind of doctrine. Can't you just picture the wind blowing through the trees? Every wind of doctrine is brought into the assemblies at times. So I must repeat it here. There is much deception in the world today. But what should concern us is that, as followers of Christ, it's gotten into the church in many instances, with the effect that children remain children, deceived by them that would profit from children's lack of discernment. I think one of the greatest gifts in the church today is discernment. Separating the precious from the vile. Proving things that are excellent is God's standard for success. And I'm going to be bold about this, so hold on. The fault squarely lies with many incompetent leaders. Blind leaders of the blind is how the Bible states it. Who have never grown up themselves and reproduce after their kind in the church of Jesus Christ, which he has purchased with his own blood. My brethren, listen carefully now. God takes no pleasure in fools, the Bible says. I didn't make this up. God takes no pleasure in fools. We reap what we sow. While we have all to lament and to seek a place to hide, But strict repentance is the cure for all of this. We need to repent of our follies, I think, because the ship is going down. I challenge everyone to read the letters of Samuel Rutherford. You ever heard of Samuel Rutherford? Who? Samuel Rutherford, to fix your course in life, not after a mirage. You fix your course in life. That godly pastor that wrote near scriptural letters to his flock after being banished to Aberdeen for his strong gospel faith and testimony. Let us imitate men like this. Samuel Rutherford, look him up. He was born in 1600 and died in 1660. These are the men we should follow. Isaiah 52 and 11 states, depart ye, depart ye. Get out of there. That's what it's saying. Get out of there. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. What an accounting must we give before that central throne occupied by the lamb turned lion. Oh, the lusts the Bible talks about, the lusts of that war against the soul. I believe God's going to weed us out. He's going to weed us out. He's going to say, those are my sheep, my loved ones. Those are my goats. My sheep, my goats, my goats, my goats. There's so many goats. 10 to 1. Where are the 9? The Bible says. We're dealing with God, my beloved brothers and sisters, whose eyes are as a burning fire. The poor underfed sheep cry out for sustenance, but in vain. Now, like I say, I don't hesitate to blame the many unanointed teachers. In order to keep the peace and keep them from leaving the church, they have compromised the word of God and led their people astray by telling them not the truth as it is in Jesus. I blame the many pastors for shirking to instruct their congregants in the right ways of the Lord with emphasis. It's not that they're teaching, but they're teaching pablum today. You're not going to grow on pablum. You have to state the word of God with emphasis and say, repent or perish. Our leader should be watchmen on the wall, sentries. Watchmen on the wall. Looking around with single eye to detect the marauding wolves in sheep's clothing. Speaking the truth in love, sure enough. But teaching them the fear of the Lord with moral power and clarity. And the consequences of self-will and rebellion before the high throne of God. Now, verse 14 corrects our vision. But speaking the truth in love. Let me tell you something, folks. The most loving thing you can tell any professing Christian today is to commute to get to them the truth of God. You don't want to lie to people, especially when they come into the assembly, to sit under the ministry of the word of God. You want to speak the truth forcefully, but in love. And this is what you get from the Spirit of God. Not holding back because of reprisals. from rich donors to the church coffers. Oh, they won't come back anymore. The true church doesn't need your money. They want your faithfulness. Now, I'm going to read something from 2 Corinthians. If you want to turn to, you can. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 14. Now, this goes in line with what I've been talking about. Notice what it says. Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, that is the devil? Now, Milton says that Belial could mean a fallen angel. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now watch what it says. Wherefore, come out, get out of there. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you touch the unclean thing and be marinated in it, he's not going to receive you. Touch not the unclean thing. Get away from it. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Come out is a surefire exhortation, speaking the truth in love, that ye may grow up into him, not staying as mere children, sucking a lollipop all your life. Till traveling days are done? What a wasted life. If I had to suck a lollipop, whatever they call it, lollipop all my life, I'd be a miserable wretch. I want to grow in the Lord. Or I want to stay in my basement for the rest of my life and watch Columbo. Anyway. Grow up. Grow up into him. We shall be like him. Isn't that like honey to your soul? We shall be like him. We're going to be like the Lord Jesus, which is far better. He's the head of all things, and I'm included in him. Wow, what a heritage I've got. Our goal must be reaching for full development and the increasing to the edifying of the body, building it up, not tearing it down by fleshly appetites. This is the way the whole body of saints flourishes, with every part doing its assigned task. We all have a role. To every man his own work. So we need to pull his or her own weight, because this is God's direction. We can't put ourselves on still. Have you ever watched something and somebody calls on the phone, and you put whatever that junky stuff is on still? It's on still, and then you can answer your phone. And then you put it back on again. You can't do that with life. You can't put yourself on still. You have to go on in the things of the Lord. The master building is fitly joining us together. A grand building, a temple for true worship in spirit And in truth, the established fear of God must be amongst us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and of knowledge and of the very zenith of life. Nothing simulated like this AI business that people are engrossed in. Nothing simulated for appearance's sake. Compacted together. Joined together by every supporting, contributing ligament. Every part doing the will of God out of a pure heart. A holy, quiet spirit which is pleasing in God's sight. This is what I want, folks. The whole body of believers is thus built up. Isn't that something? We can build one another up. Fitly joined together, working harmoniously according to the prescribed will of the master architect. So, the truth of God is the scaffold and the mortar to fasten and sustain the structure according to plan. I want to be a part of that. I think I can be. So this, my good friends, is what we are saved for, not to be caught up and jostled about by the winds of senseless, imposed, vacuous modernity. You know what modernity is? It's what you see all around us today. It's cotton candy, most of it. It can't satisfy you. Go back and redig those old wells that have been stopped up by the Philistines. Bring them up. The artesian wells of the will of God, bring them into you. Modernity. Remember once I was bringing the bus back to my garage. There was my last trip going down Great Northern, then Pym Street. I had a green light just streaming through it. I wanted to get home. All of a sudden, somebody with one of these gadgets just stepped right in front of me. I would have killed him. You see, with this modernity, it's killing our young people. All of these smartphones, bring them up to the fifth line. Drop them in the bin. It's ruining a lot of people. I could have killed him. He's going, yeah, I have a green light. I could have killed it. Because sometimes I'm talking to somebody and I take my eye off the road. Now, when you got a green light, I mean, you got a green light. He's coming by with these things in front of me. It's killing us, these things. Get away from this nonsense. Deviating from the revealed word of Almighty God. Children are cute. Aren't they cute, children? They're so cute and cuddly and innocent, but easily impressionable and led astray. But growing up is paramount to the fullness of life in Christ, making increase in measure as every part does its work faithfully. Thus, glory accrues to the master of the vineyard. Colossians 2:19 says this, holding the head, riveted on him. It doesn't mean you're getting an MRI. When it says holding the head, it means hold your head straight so they could take your imaging or whatever. Holding the head, focus on Christ. With a single eye, this is not easy, I will admit. The flesh is relentless. Do you find it so? We have an enemy within us. It's called the flesh. It's relentless. It pulls down to the pit. But God pulls us up to himself. Sometimes I knock my head against the wall with frustration at the demands of realizing God's goal for my life. I cannot possibly do it. Have you ever said that yourself? I read this Bible. How am I going to live this thing? I can't do it. But you know what the Lord Jesus says? Without me or apart from me, you can do nothing. You got to be yoked to the Lord Jesus to do it. Or else you can't. You're like a snowflake in hell. You can't do it. Hebrews 5 reminds us, for everyone that useth milk is skillful, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Strong meat, this is what we need today. Speaking the word, the truth in love, strong milk. Strong meat. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those whose reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Spiritual progress for every one of us is imperative. It's a must. We need to grow and mature, jockeying with the truth and allowing lessening of standards to satisfy the carnal palates of play actors is not in our best interest. Philippians 1:27 sounds out the clarion call, stand fast in one spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:20 reminds of us, be no more children. In understanding, be men, be men, be women. Don't be a child anymore. Playing with a rattle and marbles. We used to do that in grade 3 or 4 or 5. 2 Timothy 1, hold fast the form of sound words. Now, I want to close up here by turning you to the book of Jude. When's the last time you heard a sermon on the book of Jude? You probably never had. You know why? It's strong meat. We don't like that. Let's go to Jude. Let me read you a few verses here. If you get a tingle in your spine, it'll do you good. The book of Jude is just one chapter. Look at verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, watch this next verse. Doesn't it remind you of Ephesians 4? For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. This is what we're talking about, like the frisbee. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Verse 16, these are murmurers. Oh, we don't murmur. complainers walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last day who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. They be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Now that's the key to the assemblies of God, having the Spirit. Here it says, having not the Spirit. They're acting in the flesh without character. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference, and of others with fear, pulling them out of the fire. They got one foot in the fire, pull them out of there. Having even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the present visit of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Now one verse. I'm almost done. I know you're getting hungry. Isn't this better than filling your tummy with potato chips and cookies? Isn't this better? You might be a little bit late. I think I hear some grumbling. How's your tummy? Hebrews 13 and 9, be not carried about. That's the scripture. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, teachings. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, not with food, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So what's the bottom line here? We should shun bad peddling teaching. A lot of these boys you see on television, these celebrities, most of them are just living high off the hog on our expense. They got boats, they've got houses, $3 million, and they got all of this junk. That's not going to feed you, folks. You need the Word of God. I'm speaking the truth in love. I'm doing this in love to wake you up. Pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's pretty serious business, folks. Well, I'm going to end it at that. So I'm sorry for keeping you. I know you just want to go over there and just have those squares and potato chips. That's junky food, you know. Okay, I'm not going to give you any junky food. I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, if you don't like it, you know, we used to say when we were kids, if you don't like it, lump it. Okay, we're going to let you go. We're going to have a little prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these lovely folks that have come. We know that we love them, Father. We want them to the very best for them. Do bless them, we pray thee. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.